CFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keys. That some Palestinian prisoners reuniting with their families in the West Bank. 369 were freed today as Hamas released three Israeli hostages. CBS's Chris Livesay reports Israeli-American Sagi Dekelhin was among them.
All three men were captured from Neir Oz, one of, if not the worst hit of all the towns that Hamas attacked on October 7, 2023. Dekelhin was among the first to spot the terrorists and confront them that morning. He was wounded and ultimately taken hostage.
Back in the U.S., nasty weather for many this weekend. CBS News meteorologist John Elliott with what to expect.
Torrential rain, Kentucky and Tennessee. Then you see that risk of severe weather push into the Carolinas. All the while, we're dealing with winter weather with snow and ice in parts of the mid-Atlantic.
The Trump administration is moving forward with mass firings. CBS's Christian Benavides has details.
More federal workers were notified of layoffs, including more than 400 employees with the Department of Homeland Security and nearly 1,300 employees at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, about one-tenth of that agency's workforce. The Department of Health and Human Services is bracing for cuts to nearly all of their 5,200 probationary employees.
The Justice Department has officially moved to drop corruption charges against New York City Mayor Eric Adams after the Deputy Attorney General said prosecution would keep Adams from helping the Trump administration with its immigration policies. Former federal prosecutor Tom Dupree.
Reminiscent of the Nixon era, where you saw the president basically try to find someone who would carry out his orders in the Justice Department, had to go through several officials before he finally was able to find someone who would carry it out.
Activists rallied at the Stonewall National Monument over the removal of a reference to transgender people from its website.
At the landmark of LGBTQ rights, a declaration.
They will not erase us!
But that's what this community believes the Trump administration is trying to do. Activist Stephen Love Menendez.
They've targeted a community that's less than 1% of the population and attacked them relentlessly.
Written in chalk on the sidewalk here, LG. Capital T, B, safe space. Mac Rosenberg for CBS News, New York.
The Army says it won't allow transgender people to enlist anymore. It says it's also ending gender-affirming care. This after President Trump's executive order last month directing the Pentagon to determine a policy for transgender service members. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. The retirement savings picture across America is generally bleak. Not a lot of people have a big nest egg to rely on. Could more pensions be the answer? Mike Moen reports.
Pensions offered to public employees are seen as more stable because they're not shaken by movements in the financial markets. In recent polling from the National Institute on Retirement Security, 86% of Americans say all workers, including the private sector, should have a retirement plan that is more pension-driven. The group's Dan Doonan says retirement coverage is still too spotty for non-wealthy workers, leaving them on their own to put away savings.
In general, we're just asking way too much of individuals to get all this right. And saving during the middle years of your life to provide income throughout retirement, it really is a challenging endeavor.
He says the good news is that more states are setting up programs that enroll private sector workers in an IRA-style plan. The goal is to step in when a company can't or won't offer retirement perks. Experts say they're easy for states to operate and benefit small businesses because they don't have to contribute. But for the workers, the IRAs typically have lower contribution limits, meaning the retirement savings might not stretch as far. And just like state and local governments, Doonan says a more simplified network of retirement programs around the country can help companies in the private sector avoid staff turnover.
If they do move in that direction, I think what you'll see is more loyalty in return to the company. So there are some benefits for private employers especially employers who value retention.
This is Mike Moen. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky with scattered flurries for today and a high in the upper 20s. Couple of snow showers tonight, mostly cloudy and colder, a low near 5, and a high only near 10 Sunday, early flurries then clearing. Much colder for the work week next week. Currently it's 19 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and Northeast Wisconsin hip-hop artist and musician Matt Harper joins me in studio. We're going to light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Is Raised in Wisco, your one-stop shop for everything in the great outdoors of the great state of Wisconsin. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman is next to me. And that woman travels this state more than anybody I know. She puts her hands under rocks in the Mississippi River. I don't know what you're even looking for half the time, Danielle, but you are a risk taker.
An adrenaline rush. That's what I'm looking for.
You're an adrenaline junkie, aren't you?
I definitely am. My mom hates it so much.
Oh, you know what, though?
Hates it so much.
It makes for great stories and absolutely great radio, because when you go on your adventures, and we've been on adventures together.
We have.
We alligator hunted together.
That was the greatest time I've ever had.
Oh, my gosh. Come on. That was so fun. You know, less than 0.1% have ever alligator hunted, and you hunted with chefferie of the show, Ellie Mae Lawton, who is also in the house. Nick Corgett is here from the Delafield American Legion, and Terry Frazier's here. Should I bust out right away and talk about why there's...
Are you going to bust out rapping?
No, we're going to leave that to Terry for later. Okay, obviously Terry knows how to rap. We heard that. So when you meet these two guys, not only are you going to say, Joel, look out, because they have voices for radio and faces to match. No, I'm playing. Oh. I'm kidding. Oh, yeah. Come on. No, they don't. They're both fantastic guys. And I feel a little privileged because they are in charge of something that is known statewide. This is, what do we marry on this show more than anything else? Producer Jess, who runs the ship, what do we always say this show is, and what do we like to talk about on this show?
This is a cooking show,
Joel
Clayfish.
At the end of the day, Raised in Wisco, your outdoor show is about eating. Everything in life is. It's the only thing, the only tie that binds every human being, every Wisconsinite from every corner of the state and nation and around the world is food. And that's why we talk about it. And that's why I'm really excited. Chefferie. Ellie Mae Lawton is in the house as well, and she's going to be coming up with a fantastic recipe for later. But this show has a very special theme to it because the guests we have are, I'm going to bust it out.
Do it.
They're from the Delafield American Legion Raccoon Feed. Did you say rat coon?
I did.
Trash
They're
pandas.
They're the same things, but just like... They go right in the trash. I'm terrified.
Man.
I unfortunately missed that event. I was fishing.
I think you were in the Virgin Islands, weren't you?
That was probably a good reason to miss it then. But you guys had the best stories. Joel and Ellie had the best stories about this feed.
It was fantastic.
And now I have to try it. Now it is the raccoon, the trash pandas.
We had Megan Matthews. Alex Azell was there with us. We had a member of the DNR who was there with us. What's the DNR guy's name? Spencer. He was there with us at the table. I ran into many old friends from my old hunting days and trapping days. This is a segment of Wisconsin society that is fascinating because really at its core, the coon feed takes you back to a nostalgic time in Wisconsin of trapping. You know, the Wisconsin state flag, 1848, we were established as a state. And on the state flag is a trapper. And I think there's a badger, but it kind of looks like a raccoon. But the raccoon trapping industry in Wisconsin was how people survived, a great number of them back in the day. Trapping, eating, tanning raccoon hides, turning it into clothing, into mm-hmm. accessories, and we're going to get into that part of it as well. I'm so jacked to have them there. I think we should do our weekly Wiscos, though.
Right, yeah, away.
I mean, well, I'm going to go first just because I'm afraid everybody else is going to steal mine.
I mean, ladies first. So.
Oh, ouch. Well, hey, oh, you know what I'd like to point out? For the first time in ages, there's the same amount of men here to defend me. I'm not going to get beat up by all the women beating me up.
That's what you think.
Look, I'm used to...
They might be on our side, Joel. You don't know.
They probably will. I'm very used to women being better at everything, and I'm okay with that. And so I'm used to it on a regular basis, but I feel like there's a little even ground here tonight. I might have a fighting
chance.
Look
at that smile. Look at that. He's smiling.
I am smiling. But in all reality, I love getting beat up. It's just part of the fun of it, to be honest. My weekly Wisco was ice fishing with the group of us that we had on Sunday. It was a glorious day.
It was.
We were out there. Danielle, you shot cool video of me catching a fish. I have to say.
What?
Danielle is not just a weekend warrior fisherman. This woman is like Alex the angler. She is pounding those holes until they are producing fish. So it was a tough bite. It was a tough bite, but Danielle gave it so hard that she ended... How many fish did you end up with?
Nine or ten.
And I was fighting. I was a close second. I caught a giant crappie, a real beautiful crappie.
It was
and then
nice
we started catching
plate.
big crappies and bluegills, but I fought, and I ended up catching seven. And that counts.
You got the first one though.
But that does count. I had first, you had biggest and most though. You had a bigger one. You had bigger fish.
That was a nice pike that you had though.
Yeah,
I
it was
like
all
that.
Right. Yeah, it was probably
out of your lucky tip up too. You called
lucky
it.
Tip up. It was my daughter Violet's tip up. It's pink with a black flag, which takes me back to the days of Black Flag, the punk rock band from the 90s. Jess in the fishbowl has given us the Motley Crue sign back there. Do you actually know who Black Flag is?
I do. What?
Yeah.
Who is this Black Flag?
It's a punk rock band.
Oh, sweet.
We had Chefery Ellie Mae Lawton out there. We had Rob Brennecke out there. We had George Ermert out there. Now, George Ermert
is a hoot.
Is an absolute riot. That guy, so he's...
He was nonstop talking,
he
too.
Does
I
a government
it.
Affairs with me out at the Capitol, and the guy is just an absolute riot. And he caught a couple fish. I was in
he
close
did.
Second. Ellie had, she put on a spread. Honest to
of
God,
course. It was amazing.
If I continue to go ice fishing with Ellie like once a month, I will gain weight.
Same.
I will absolutely gain weight. It was unbelievable. And she's like, oh, I just kind of, I didn't
threw it
bring
together.
Out much. I whipped it together. Ellie, how many fish did you catch?
I caught a tan. Danielle was just hard at work slaying the fish, and I was at one point laying on the ice.
You were
holding my rod, jigging, just watching
fishing.
Danielle reel the fish in. I was just catching a tan. You know what? I had a great time.
It was awesome. It definitely was a great time.
I think the funniest part about it is Ellie was talking to George quite a bit of the time and just sitting and listening
to
them.
No, it was the other way around.
George
was
talking to
Ellie.
That's true.
Nonstop.
Sure. But when they were talking together, just the wit, like one would try to outwit the other. And I just, oh my gosh, I love
it. And then Mike Kretschmer had a few words to throw in there as well, which it was a great time.
Wait, but I need to say a shout out to my new best friend, George, because I know he'll be listening.
Hi,
hey, George. We
George
miss you.
You know, every week, this goes without fail, Jess, producer Jess, every mm-hmm. week George calls me after the weekend.
Oh, okay.
And he gives me a rundown as to whether he approved of the show, enjoyed the show, how much he liked the show.
Hello, George. I hope that you enjoy this show.
Yes. So George is our voice. You know, we're on the radio in Madison, and you can check out Raised in Wisco on every Civic Media station throughout Wisconsin, 11 o'clock on Saturdays. And then you can check out the podcast. Danielle, tell them where.
You can listen to the podcast on civicmedia.us. Search for Raised in Wisco. You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, and Apple.
I have to say, so George and I do government affairs together in the Capitol. And George and I have been to Croatia together hunting in Zadar, Croatia, the island of Dugi Otok.
Oh,
and
fun.
George killed his first, big game animal out of the country with me. And the guy is an absolute riot. If you hang around him, good luck not laughing.
This is true.
For most of the time. He's fantastic. George, we love that you're a loyal listener also. So that was my weekly Wisco. Man, I took some time talking about it, but it was so great. And then I literally rolled off the ice because I was so full. I think I ate two hot dogs and two brats and everything else that was there. It was fantastic.
That dip
I had a great
was
time.
Delicious.
I had like six non-alcoholic Rattlers too, so I was very non-drunk when I left. But
and I tried petting the dog across the street. Not friendly.
No, I told you not to. I said, please don't pet the dog.
Life goal is to pet all the dogs. I was nice.
You.
It was like an Akita dog. It was big, fluffy. It looked old. And I'm like, I have to pet this dog. You just have to pet the dog. And don't do it. Are you going to do it? Can I pet that dog?
Danielle.
Oh, what?
Every time we are anywhere and you see a dog, your everything changes and you only see that dog and you just run towards it. You don't even care what's going on. There could be bombs and earthquakes going on and you see a dog, you're out of there.
Hey, I know what makes me happy.
You rolled out of the truck, you saw
it.
That dog, and you literally ran across the road into somebody's yard to pet the dog. And Joel's like, Danielle, don't. Danielle goes to pet another dog.
I knocked on the door first to see if I could pet their dog. Her name was Luca. She's not friendly.
And I'm thinking to myself, it's 7:30 in the morning. We're going to head straight to the hospital after this because she's going up to a husky looking dog and she's got her arm outstretched. I'm like, Danielle,
just
stop.
Love me.
All I have to say is I think I'm happy that I'm not with you all the time because it would be I would be yelling, Danielle, stop a lot.
Josh
My nerves
does,
would
yes.
get the best of me.
No, he just goes, okay.
What was your weekly Wisco?
My weekly Wisco was the company I work for, Rams Contracting. I'm a heavy equipment operator. They do like employee appreciation. So we all went to Milford Hills to have a pheasant hunt. So it was about 55 people. We all went there. We had every single field booked. And Cara.
Cara Michaud, Woodrow Gun Dogs.
Yep, Cara. She, of course, without a doubt, did a fantastic job. Her dogs were spot on, perfect. Everything worked out perfectly. And my friend that passed away that worked for us, I actually brought his daughter. So his daughter hunted and used his gun. So that was really nice.
What a blast. That is a fantastic time. Anybody who says there's not enough to do in the winters, just not trying because Wisconsin has so many things to do in the outdoors.
Get off and your booty. Go out there.
Get out there and make sure you make food a part of it because that is a huge part of the culture in Wisconsin as well. I can't wait to talk to Nick Corgett and Terry Frazier from the Delafield American Legion, the Coon Feed. Very exciting. We're going to actually talk to them about first-time raccoon eaters. This is Raised in Wisco.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista.
time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. Ziplining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it. From pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
USA Today's Reader's Choice Awards named Chula Vista one of America's top 10 indoor water parks. Find out why at ChulaVistaResort.com.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It don't matter to me.
In Wisco, I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman's at my side.
Hello.
Danielle.
Joel.
They have a word for you at the Delafield coon feed. You've never eaten raccoon, have you?
I have not. I have never eaten raccoon.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, my
well,
Lanta.
I'm going to tell you something.
Calm down, people.
It is one of the most amazing things to me that blows my mind is that the Delafield American Legion has been around for probably over 100 years or so.
And Not yet.
Not even the American Legion's been around that long yet, because we have... Every year at the American Legion, one of the things that we talk about on this show is eating what you kill, eating what you harvest. If you're out there trapping, if you are foraging in the forest, make sure that you utilize what you are taking from nature. Well, nobody is a better example of that than with something that a lot of people think is absolutely sketchy. And that is,
I mean,
eating.
When I see them crawling out of the trash can, I'm not like, ooh, you look good with that trash on you, buddy.
No, and that's why, you know,
I'm like,
oh,
go away.
You know, they call them trash pandas, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So in Delafield, at the Delafield American Legion, this is nothing new. For 98 years, they have been hosting a raccoon feed where they eat and serve hundreds of people raccoon trash panda.
It has to be hundreds. How many raccoons do you guys normally go through each year?
Well, this last year, we just did 140 raccoons.
140?
Just 140.
Correct.
Terry Frazier is from the Delafield American Legion. He's a former military in the Army. Thank you for your service. Appreciate it very much. I appreciate my freedom, and I appreciate the freedom to say, yes, I am going to eat raccoon, or no, I'm not. But I have to tell you... And, you know, we were there with Alex, Izzell, Megan Matthews. We had Spencer from the DNR with us, ran into a bunch of old friends. I'm blown away because Ellie Mae Lawton is a chef. She could not get enough of the raccoon.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, you said you guys made 140, right? I think I ate 40 of them. They were so good.
So how do you prepare these? Like, is it all just...
I just want to ask who drove home with her after eating 140 coons.
Just 40. She only ate 40.
I felt great. I don't know what's wrong with everybody else. I was actually really sad I didn't take any home.
What?
You guys asked me, and like, I think, okay, it was Friday night, right?
I think it was a Friday.
Friday night, right? And by Sunday, I'm like, man, I really wish I had some raccoon.
Those are probably words that have never come out of your mouth before.
You got to keep in mind, next year, we do to-go stuff now, too.
Oh, man.
You have to-go basket. Nick Corgett, you are a member of the American Legion. You're part of the Sons of the American Legion. Your father served. And what I want to know is, where on earth did this... Do you guys even know? 98 years. That means... everybody who started at the first Coon Feed is no longer with us. That means the vast majority of people who started at the first Delphi American Legion Coon Feed are no longer with us. This has gone on for a century. How on earth did somebody say, I got a great idea, let's eat raccoons?
But that you can tell the Tom McNulty story way better than I can.
Ooh, Tom right. McNulty.
Terry Frazier is one of the organizers. He's the commander of the Delphi American Legion. Terry, I need to know, like, where did this idea come from? And number one, number two, how on earth did it catch on?
Very good question.
So basically, Tom McNulty, our post was around since 1921.
Okay.
We did not have the location we're at now. We've been at that location since 1952.
All right. Yeah, but that the location doesn't matter.
No.
This Coon Feed's been going on for 98 years. Years.
Tom McNulty decided to do something for the youth in the community, and basically was for the youth.
Okay.
Oh, wonderful.
So he started a Coon Feed. They used to trap their own animals and go out and do a meal and serve the community, raise a little bit of money, and give it to the kids. How it started.
Did they deliver them back in the day, do you know, or did they have put up a tent? I mean, we're talking, you know, 1910, right? And
no, you're going too far back.
I'm going too far. So we're in 2020. So, okay, 1930-ish,
so just a little after 1921.
Right? Holy cow, I'm really struggling with my math here. Help me out, people. For God's sake,
1927, I think.
I'm struggling.
It's better to just listen to you struggle.
I appreciate that. Thank you. So we're talking a century ago. Very primitive. I mean, people on horseback coming to, you know, to the Coon Feed. Were they on horseback or did they have cars at that time? They had cars.
They probably did both.
They were not on horses, Joel. All right. We need to take a quick math lesson and a history lesson. They were not rolling up to the Coon Feed on horses, Joel.
Maybe some of them were. Maybe it was park lot.
Maybe Model A.
Maybe Model A. Exactly. Jess is losing it in the fishbowl.
Oh, man.
Okay, why is it so inconceivable that in the 1920s, late 20s...
Are you crying?
They were riding horses.
Okay, what did they do to make it so good to continue on over and over and over? Because to me, it's like raccoon. There was plenty of other animals to harvest and eat back then. So why the raccoon?
Well, a lot of hunters back then were doing trapping. And I don't know why Tom McNulty started it. I don't know why he used coon. But it was just something that he did. And it was something to get his buddies together, his army buddies together, and to do something good for the community.
When did you start eating the raccoon?
When
did you go coon?
When did I go coon?
Not sure if you can
I have been a
that.
Member of the post for 28 years.
28 years?
28 years.
Wow.
I probably had coon about 30 some odd years ago.
Yeah?
Wow.
Are you part of the one that people that trap it? Are you the trapper or who's
no,
the trapper?
No, I am not the trapper.
Who is the trapper?
The trapper is somebody that Nick likes to call his name. And this is Nick's favorite name.
Oh, Danielle.
And I will give this over to Nick.
Well, Nick. Let me just give Nick an introduction. I mean, this is a man who really needs no introduction when he enters a room. I think he's actually 7'13" inches.
Yep.
And he, this guy commands a room. And the funniest thing about it is he's got a smile. That's right.
7'13"
would be 8'1".
Going back to the math lesson.
Nick, I love this.
Nick has got a smile on his face that will cover the entire 12-foot wall. I'll tell you that. And when you walk into a room, this guy's, if he's greeting you and he was greeting guests and selling raffles and doing all the stuff at the Coon Feed,
yes,
he's just
everything.
A fantastic guy. I am very excited about hearing from him how people got interested in it, how it came to be, what happens if you've never tried it and you show up at this event, who shows up to this event, what does it taste like? We're going to get the expert, Chefry Ellie Mae Lawton, on that. This is Raised in Wisco. We're talking about the Delafield American Legion 98th Annual Raccoon Feed.
Yeah, Benny. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
CBS News Brief. That's cheers after the latest hostage exchange between Israel and Hamas. CBS News contributor Robert Berger reports that came after Israel allowed humanitarian aid into Gaza.
Israel has agreed to allow some of that in, and it's starting, and that's part of the reason that the deal today was able to go forward. We'll have to see, though, if Hamas gets as much as it wants.
The Trump administration moving forward with more layoffs. More than 400 were let go yesterday at the Department of Homeland Security. CBS Willie James Inman.
The Office of Personnel Management has notified government agencies that they have until Tuesday, 8 p.m., to compile all of the numbers of the employees affected by the layoffs.
Dangerous weather coming. CBS News meteorologist John Elliott.
Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia. We're talking about tornadic activity and heavy rain as well.
CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keyes.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Brandon Woodruff back on the mound. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. At Brewers spring training in Arizona, pitcher Brandon Woodruff throwing 20 pitches for the first time to batters after having surgery on his shoulder back in October of 2023. How did it feel?
Felt great. When you can kind of break down, obviously I was nervous, jittery. Like, I mean, it's the first time in a year and a half, but I felt good. I think it went a lot better than I expected to, which was I needed this. I needed to face hitters. I needed Bowers, and I needed Williams to step in the box. You know what I mean? Like, you got a all-star steps in the box, the first hitter you've seen in a year and a half. I mean, you can't help but get a little adrenaline going. So it was good for me. Got some good feedback, and now it's just recover. Like, go recover and get used to doing this again.
NBA All-Star Weekend, the Bucks' Marcus Johnson named a finalist for the Basketball Hall of Fame. The final vote to be announced in April. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers did not make the cut. With sports, on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky with scattered flurries for today and a high in the upper 20s. Couple of snow showers tonight, mostly cloudy and colder, a low near 5, and a high only near 10 Sunday, early flurries then clearing. Much colder for the work week next week. Currently 21 degrees.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. While attacks on democracy norms ensue in Washington, state legislatures have also been busy. We have updates from Utah, Kansas, Indiana, and the contested North Carolina Supreme Court race. Voting Rights Lab reports that the Utah House is considering HB 300, which forces mail-in ballot users to deliver their ballot not by mail, but by hand to an official polling place where an ID can be presented. The elderly, disabled, and other voters for whom returning by mail is their only option would need to seek special permission. HB 332 would withdraw Utah from the Cooperative Electronic Registration Data Center, the subject of far-right conspiracy theories. The Kansas Senate passed SB 4, which requires receipt of mail-in ballots by 7 p.m. Election Day to count, rather than the current 3 days after. An Indiana Senate committee advanced SB 284, shortening early in-person voting from 28 days to 14 days, ending at noon the day before Election Day. The full Senate passed SB 10, ending use of school-issued student identification as ID for voting. In North Carolina, a district court judge dismissed a claim by a state Supreme Court candidate that in a race he lost by 734 votes, as many as 65,000 voters were ineligible. A federal appeals court may revisit it. We've linked the Voting Rights Lab tracker at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Earl Ingram.
Mayor Johnson, we used to have a saying called the switcheroo. Talking about one thing while behind the scenes there's a greater issue.
This man was elected president of the United States to focus in on making everyday life more affordable. But our push to remove lead service lines, our health department, are impacted by the things that the Trump administration have targeted since they've been in office. Yeah, it's been a huge switcheroo. It's not been about saving folks money. I mean, this is going to cause more pain.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend's headlines and give a preview to the spring primary election on Tuesday. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
One-stop shop for everything in the great outdoors of the great state of Wisconsin. I am Joel Clayfish. I'm so psyched to be with you. We love everybody listening to the show, coming up to us, telling us what they love about it, what they want to hear, why they enjoy the great state of Wisconsin.
We definitely do.
Danielle Fairman, co-host of Raised in Wisco. We've been together for much more than a decade already, hunting together, fishing together, doing the media together. Now we love this show. And we've been doing this for years already, which is amazing. Raised in Wisco has expanded to 21 stations statewide on the Civic Media Network. We're also exploring maybe creeping into a couple other stations.
Oh,
that'll be exciting to talk about. I'm very excited about that. So everything is fantastic here in the fishbowl at Raised in Wisco. And we're talking today. We've got Terry Frazier here and Nick Corgett here. Of course, Chef Ellie Mae Lawton is here. She's going to have our cooking segment coming up. We're talking about the Delafield American Legion Coon Feed. Before we go any further with this, Jess, I got to ask you, have you ever tried coon? I mean, I know you're a little bit new.
You asked me that a week ago.
Okay.
The answer still hasn't changed.
No.
although
I was
really, really hoping that Nick and Terry were going to come in today with raccoon.
Next time we'll bring some.
Well, I think,
there's a next time? All right. Nice.
You know what? They're definitely good enough guests to have them come back. I can't wait.
I did tell them that my favorite guests always bring food, so.
Perfect.
And you have to please her.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. Look, if Jess ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. You know what I'm saying?
Happy Jess, happy life.
That's right.
Maybe we could find something on Uber Eats.
Find some raccoon.
I doubt we're going to find stewed raccoon. And you know what is so fun to me? Raccoons have a nickname. Do you know what it is, Danielle?
Trash panda.
Trash pandas.
Yep.
I love all the nicknames. Do you know they call pheasants? You know what they call pheasants?
Ditch chickens.
Ditch parrots or ditch chickens. I love that.
I never heard that.
What else we got?
Do you know what they call snakes?
Danger noodles.
Ellie knows.
What?
I've never heard danger noodle. I've heard forest noodle. I've never heard danger noodle. The problem for me is... Danielle, hit the 7-second button, Jess. Danielle just broke the code.
Danger
noodle. Anything
that
with
was
the
really
word
good. I'm
anything
sweaty.
With the word noodle after it makes me hungry as an Italian.
Danger noodle.
Danger noodles.
I she's gonna be cackling about that for a week.
Yes. So Nick Corgett is here. We got a little off track with our weekly Wiscos, and I want to bring it back to that because then we're going to talk about people who go to the raccoon feed, how many first timers you get, what happens if you are a first timer, and then we're going to get with Chef Ellie because I want to hear what she thinks is done to the raccoon that made it so delicious that she ate about 6 pounds of it. I mean, there was a point at which they were wondering if she was going to come back again for more, I think, after she'd gone back 3 times. She really ate a lot of raccoon that night.
My uncle's one of the servers, and I think he was talking about her.
That was
woman
fantastic.
Who came in here and kept filling up.
Who's
on the
that
raccoon.
Itty bitty woman who put away
he was impressed,
10 raccoons.
I'll tell you that.
Who put away 4 pounds of raccoon.
So what was all served at this feed? Just raccoon? What kind of sides? Any?
Well, of course we have the trash panda, but then there's the, we have turkey for people that don't want to explore into that sort of zone. We have
weirdos.
All typical sides and, the auxiliary and a bunch of the people from the community bring a lot of great desserts and everything like that.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. So it's a full setup, full meal.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, the coleslaw was amazing. All of the sides were delicious. It comes with, you know, very traditional fish fry sides. That's kind of what it feels like to me.
Daniela ate all the sides too.
No doubt.
Yes, there it was. Ellie was part of the Clean Plate Club. That much was clear. Talk to me, Nick, about who goes to this thing. Who are the hundreds of when we got there? There was a 45-minute waiting list just to get a plate of raccoon.
Oh, so, wow!
So I got to tell you, every year it blows my mind. And like you said in the intro, I started doing this with my dad probably 10, 12 years ago. And even when he was doing it, goes back further, he was amazed. Each year, it's not the same people. And, you know, you get maybe 50, 60 percent that are return customers. But the rest are what we call virgin cooners. And they
That's
part of the fun. You
we
know.
Call them virgin cooners. And this means they've not tried raccoon before.
Yeah, the whole event. It's such a good energy. Everybody has so much fun. So if you happen to be a first timer, they come through the line at the very end. They ask everybody, you've been here before. And there's a bell you ring, and you get a certificate that Terry and I've signed.
Aww.
It's rolled up like a diploma, and that's it makes fantastic. Everybody so happy. You know, it brings a lot of, like,
I mean, that really makes me happy, and I wasn't even there.
Yeah, well, next year when you come, you'll get one of these.
I definitely
I have my certificate in the truck right now.
Oh, yeah. You're waiting for the frame, right?
Yes, I am, actually.
That is awesome.
I think it would look great in the studio.
Yes.
I think so too.
And you know what's funny is, you know, John Whitmore is a friend of mine. He's done trapping for that coon feed several years before, and I've actually gone along with him to do that, and I've watched him, you know, clean the raccoons and and so I actually cooked it one time on my own, and I have to say it's pretty darn good. I mean, I didn't do it the way that they made it at the raccoon feed. I did roast mine in a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
But I just made it essentially the same way I make my Canada goose. You fill the top with water. I'm going to tell you this. The difference with raccoon is their fat, a lot of fat from animals renders down and adds flavor. It's a good flavor. Raccoon fat, you got to scoop it out as it's cooking, my opinion. It's got kind of a bitter a bitter taste to it.
We have a very elaborate process. I mean, it's almost a whole week worth of things that we have to do to prepare this, including the brine, which is the end, and, of course, the cooking. But we get a bunch of people from the community and the Legion together, and it's a full day of it's just defatting, because you're right. You have to get much of that off of the raccoon as you can.
Okay, so do you do that ahead of time, or do you ladle it out as it renders while you're cooking it too? Or?
No, not while it's cooking. It's ahead of time.
Okay.
Yep, before it goes in the brine.
All right, do either one of you, Terry or Nick, do you know what the recipe is? I'm not asking you to say it real quick. Do you know what the recipe is?
We both know, and it's the same recipe
Just hang on to that.
Please hold.
We're going to use the expertise of Chef Ellie Mae Lawton here. I want Ellie, from a trained chef's perspective, to describe how it tasted and see if she can figure out what was made, how it was prepared.
I'm excited for this. This is like a game show.
This is a lot of pressure.
This is a lot of pressure.
Okay, so I explained it on one of the other shows, the show right after. And to me, it tastes like corned beef almost. So I definitely got all the pickling spices. At least that's what I was tasting. And heavy on the peppercorns. I mean, it was delicious. So I don't know. Am I on the right track?
The only thing you got right is the peppercorn.
Oh, really? Wow. That's super embarrassing. Just kidding. I'm not embarrassed. No, seriously. To me, it tastes like corned beef when I make corned beef.
But yeah, you're right spot on about the flavor, but there's things that happen in the recipe that are just, you would never guess.
Oh, I'm going to need that recipe.
Sworn to secrecy.
No, I'm going to get it out of you guys.
So it is a secret recipe.
Yeah, I was starting to say before, it's the original recipe from the very first coon feed Tom McNulty did up until this very year.
And it's the same exact recipe. Well, it's a fantastic recipe, whatever it is. There's some kind of salt in it, and there's some kind of peppercorns in it for sure. I mean, you get a very peppery flavor. But I have to agree, it has a very corned beef taste to it. It tastes like a very fine corned beef. I mean, it would make a heck of a Reuben sandwich, or make a heck of a anything that you make that's corned beef, you could trade out for this recipe.
Yeah, you're right on with the flavor. And I'm a very picky eater, and this, I mean, I even think it's great. So It's something that everybody should try.
I definitely want you to try that. I'm going to miss it next year.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have the same time, the same month every single year?
Yeah, it's always the last Saturday of January.
Last Saturday of January.
So I'm going to tell a very cute story. I was sitting next to a veteran who was in his late 70s. I had a fantastic talk with him. He was eating the raccoon, and he said, "Oop, I got lucky. I got some shot in mine." He thought it was shot that he thought it was shot in his raccoon. Now, these raccoons are trapped, correct?
Yes.
Yes. So I wondered what he was talking about, and he took a peppercorn out of his mouth and put it on his plate. He thought the peppercorn was a shotgun shot. So for the rest of the meal, I leaned over to him. I said, "I got some shot in mine, too." And we both collected about 10 peppercorns on our plate.
That is fantastic.
So I can go back before King Arnie.
Who is King Arnie?
We'll explain who King Arnie is.
All right.
Most of our coon was shot.
Oh.
And that was one of the things that we used to do was pull the little bullets out of the meat.
Ah, that's a great story.
And whoever had the most bullets on the table was the winner.
Was the winner. I think that's a fantastic.
Winner, raccoon dinner.
I have to tell you, I've gotten near chipping a tooth from time to time.
Absolutely.
On goose, when I stew my goose or make it in the crock pot. When I was young, I can't remember that long ago. When my kids were young, if they found shot, they would put it aside, and that was like a treasure to them. And we would take that shot and we would put it in a little, tiny fingernail size cage and make a necklace out of it for them. So they thought it was lucky jewelry that they were getting when the shot came out. I want to ask you guys, so you make a fair amount of money doing this. I mean, it's a fundraiser. You guys literally sell raccoon clothing there, raccoon koozies, raccoon hats. Are there stoles, that kind of thing? I mean, there's somebody there who is in the raccoon. What's that, Jess?
Do you make hats out of raccoons?
Oh, yes. Yeah, there's raccoon hats and all sorts of stuff there. Yeah. Do you want a raccoon hat?
Kind of.
Jess.
It has
Do you
begun.
Understand what it's like when you tell
everybody
somebody?
Everybody is smiling
Do you
right
understand
now?
What it's like when you tell somebody like me you want something made out of a harvested animal or eat something from a harvested animal? You know that then mm-hmm. that becomes on my list mm-hmm. of something
like
I've got to deliver. Yes. Yeah, and the fantastic thing about it is they've got those to sell at the raccoon feed. People are all excited. Half of them are walking. We bought some raccoon tails for the table. They go around and sell those for, $15 or whatever. And you're eating this raccoon, and you look around and you say, "This cannot be real. All these people are sitting around eating raccoon." I don't think many people actually take the turkey. I don't know if I even saw one person with the turkey, Nick. Do people take turkey?
Well, the color. What's the coloring difference? Are they both like?
No, raccoon is very dark meat.
Dark meat. Okay.
Very dark meat. Like it looks like Canada goose. Oh, stewed okay. Canada goose is what it looks like. But do a lot of people eat the turkey?
No. It's there as a backup just in case somebody comes with an experienced diner of ours and doesn't want to give it a try. We have it just as more of a courtesy.
That's okay. Nice. It's good thinking.
Do you guys do pretty well at this? It's a fundraiser, and where does the money go?
Yeah, so it's one of the bigger Legion fundraisers for us. And the money we raise has been going back into expansion of the post. We also donate to local charities, the Badger Boys, the Scouts. And, there's a couple other local charities that the Legion gives back to. So it's not just for us. We try to continue the tradition of giving back to the community.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Raised in Wisco is committed to making the 99th and the 100th annual Delafield American Legion raccoon feeds bigger than they've ever been. Get ready for it, because when it comes to things like the Boy Scouts and former military and supporting our soldiers who return and our Marines and other veterans who return from wars and helping them reassimilate. We know on this show how important that is and the importance of the work you do. We're going to keep you up to date on it. I can't wait. We got a recipe coming with Chef Ellie Mae Lawton on Raised in Wisco.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's Tennessee whiskey.
Wisco, your one-stop shop to learn where, how, and why you can eat raccoon at the Delafield American Legion every year. Next year will be their 99th, and it benefits the veterans and their families and the folks who belong to the Delafield American Legion and the Boy Scouts and other charities around. We here on Raised in Wisco are committed to making sure that the 99th annual and the 100th annual raccoon feed at the Delafield American Legion are bigger and better than ever. And Danielle, Joel, I'm going to need a commitment from you and Jess in the fishbowl. Producer Jess, I need a commission. I need a commitment from you guys that you'll be at the Delafield Coon Feed with us next year.
Hey, we'll be the ones on horses.
Give her own mic. It goes south
I'm in back. A hurry.
It goes south in a hurry. Yep.
Joel is outmatched on the place again.
So I didn't know that there were only cars in the late 20s. I'm sure people were still on horseback in some areas. Maybe.
Sure.
At rodeos.
No, they were at the Delafield Legion having raccoon.
The first motorcycle produced by Harley Davidson was 1903. So I bet there were still some people on horseback at that time.
20 years later?
Okay. I mean, yeah. Ellie has horses. But
yeah,
that's
I have
not
enough
the
for
primary
all of us to ride
of transportation.
To the coon feed.
She definitely did. Wear hats and shirts and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, what a fantastic show. And just when you think you couldn't hear anything else about what we take from the outdoors and make a meal out of it, I'd have to go so far as to say because of the people who are fed at this raccoon feed, it probably bumps raccoon up higher on the chain of one of the most eaten wild games in Wisconsin because of it. It's hundreds of people. So make sure that you do support them. And of course, you know how much we love the culinary areas of Wisconsin. And that's why Raised in Wisco's got their own official certified French chef, Ellie Mae Lawton, who is the chefferie of Raised in Wisco, who's here to talk with us this week about this week's recipe. And one of the things that I love about it is Chef Lawton's got a real way of simplifying what may be considered difficult, but you don't have to be, it doesn't have to be 8 million steps and 8 million ingredients to get from the outdoors of Wisconsin to the dinner table. What do you got for us this week, Chef?
This week we are talking about wild boar barbecue pizza.
Ooh.
It's not scary at all. You can swap out the protein for raccoon or anything else that you desire.
You know, I have a question before you get into that recipe. Yeah. One of the questions I have is, can you just about in any case swap out any protein in a recipe?
I mean, I'm sure you've heard me say that a million times. You absolutely can. I don't see why not.
Yeah, I want to make that, you know, clear to the audience. As long as you follow the instructions for the type of meat you're cooking to make sure it's cooked to the right temperature,
mm-hmm. right.
it does not matter what you're making, from chili to pizza to pasta to Asian dishes. If you swap out the protein, you can use pheasant, you can use wild goose, wild duck, store-purchased pork, meat. You can buy, you know, venison. You can switch out any protein and make it good in any meal.
Yeah. Absolutely. So fun of it. Yeah. So wild boar barbecue pizza. My inspiration was barbecue chicken pizza, right? We've all had it, right, Danielle?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So you can make your own pizza crust, or you can buy one. No big deal. Use some Wisconsin mozzarella and cheddar. You can make your own barbecue sauce, or you can buy one and fancy it up with a little hot sauce, maybe some right wing sauce, Joel.
Perfect.
That's pretty good. And then I just prepared my wild boar in actually an oven bag, which is so cool. You know, like some people roast turkeys in oven bags. I roast like anything in an oven bag, and it is just delicious. It'll just shred itself. So good.
How long does it take, and then what kind of seasonings are you adding to it when you're making it for a
pizza?
Depends
on how big your piece of meat is. So this was probably about 3 pounds. It was a pretty good chunk. I put it in there with some beef broth, actually, some salt, some pepper, some pickling spices that apparently is not used on the raccoon. I put it in the oven low and slow, 350 for, I think it was in there maybe 4 or 5 hours. And pulled it out, opened the bag, and just shredded it with forks.
Oh my gosh, that sounds delicious. Making me so hungry.
Yeah, so anyways, pizza crust, then do your barbecue sauce. I use a lot of cheese because this is Wisconsin, right?
Absolutely.
So cheese, and then your barbecue shredded meat. You can toss it with barbecue sauce ahead of time if you want, or just leave it. And then top it with some jalapenos, banana peppers, red onions. Yeah.
How
and then
about a little crumbled blue cheese on there?
Oh, no.
Oh, Joel. Gosh. Oh,
did I ruin it?
You did.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry I blew it up.
I mean, I love blue cheese, but man, oh, man, way to derail this.
We were doing good when they take over the mics. It's game over for the host.
Yeah. We can talk about my cheese recipe that I brought out on the ice because
okay,
I know George.
This is just for George. Germer,
this is
right?
just for George. So talking about cheese, it was with Velveeta, and we all love Velveeta. So that was a super easy recipe. It was just a pound of ground meat, a smaller block of Velveeta. I don't even know how much that weighs. Some salsa, green chilies. What else do we put in there?
Were any cream cheese in there?
No. And, sliced jalapenos.
Yeah.
Tomatoes. Yeah. That was it.
So
and just melted it. And it was
fantastic.
So good. We had ground venison in ours.
Okay.
Yeah, that was
and
good.
And then serve that with tortilla chips?
Yeah.
Or
so good.
Kind of chips you
so
want.
Easy. I mean, why not, right?
It was delicious.
It was great out on the ice.
Oh, my gosh. Is that your weekly Wisco, Ellie, out on the ice this weekend?
Yeah, last 2 weekends out on the ice.
So this weekend, today, actually Saturday, is Battle and Bago.
Yes.
Yep.
So I hope Battle and Bagel, everyone's staying safe out there because it was getting kind of
sure
scary.
Make sure you stay safe because last year some folks really got into trouble out there with some of the ice heaves. We talk about food. We've talked about the raccoon feed. Danielle Fairman, my co-host here. Ellie Mae Lawton, the chef of Raised in Wisco. Jess, the producer in the Fishbowl. We had Terry Frazier and Nick Corgett from the American Legion. Awesome to have you with us. Cannot wait till you're back on Raised in Wisco with us next week. Have a great week.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Let's rock some local music this weekend on Max Inc. Join us as we welcome Kaylin Cole and Lexi Liu, plus Yanni and Rocker will stop in for a visit. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday evenings at 6 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keys. A hostage exchange between Israel and Hamas went off without a hitch, with three Israelis freed and 369 Palestinians let go. This after Israel agreed to allow some humanitarian aid into Gaza. But this woman's son is still being held.
I'm excited for the three hostages back home today, but I'm also very worried.
CBS News contributor Robert Berger with more.
Phase two is the most difficult because it's supposed to see the release of the remaining hostages, about 70 hostages. Equally difficult, the complete end of the war. That's what Hamas wants, and that's what Israel has been reluctant to give because, as we see from these releases, Hamas is still in power in Gaza, and that's a problem for Israel.
In Munich, a furious Ukraine President Zelensky says his nation won't be shut out of peace talks.